gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May all is well in this land with respect and peace.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
May his grace and peace be with you.
May you fill our hearts with joy.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you riches beyond imagination. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the Book of Acts. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of our own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the heart and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. la première lettre de Saint-Pierre, a reading from the first letter of Peter. Et qui vous fera du mal si vous vous montrez zélé pour le bien? Bien plus, au cas où vous auriez à souffrir pour la justice, heureux êtes-vous. N'ayez d'eux aucune crainte et ne soyez pas troublés. Mais sanctifiez dans vos cœurs le Christ qui est Seigneur. Soyez toujours prêts à justifier votre espérance devant ceux qui vous en demandent compte. Mais que ce soit avec douceur et respect, en ayant une bonne conscience, afin que, sur le point même où l'on vous calomnie, ceux qui décrivent votre bonne conduite en Christ soient confondus. Car mieux vaut souffrir en faisant le bien, si telle est la volonté de Dieu, qu'en faisant le mal. En effet, le Christ lui-même a souffert pour les péchés, une fois pour toutes, lui juste pour les injustes, afin de vous présenter à Dieu, lui mis à mort en sa chair, mais rendu à la vie par l'Esprit. C'est alors qu'il est allé prêcher même aux esprits en prison, aux rebelles d'autrefois, quand se prolongeait la patience de Dieu au jour où Noé construisait l'arche, dans laquelle peu de gens, 8 personnes, furent sauvées par l'eau. C'était l'image du baptême qui vous sauve maintenant. Il n'est pas la purification de souillure du corps, mais l'engagement envers Dieu d'une bonne conscience. Il vous sauve par la résurrection de Jésus-Christ qui, parti pour le ciel, est à la droite de Dieu et à qui sont soumis anges, pouvoir et puissance. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of Christ. May these words invite and recognize God's love for each of us. Amen. Jesus is getting ready to leave. Following the resurrection, the way the story unfolds, he is with his disciples over 50 days of instruction, preparing them for this. And I've been reflecting on how different that instruction, those 50 days, must have been from the 3 years of them in another kind of learning. Prior to his crucifixion, the learning was experiential. They saw healing. They heard stories. They went on journeys. They observed. They were empowered to act. And now in these 50 days post-Easter, it feels like it's mostly talking and meals. The Easter season is a different kind of learning. And I've been reflecting on what the difference is between this before and after. Maybe you know I've been away on a retreat. I went to a monastery, it was in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where there were 4 services of worship a day, each filled with chanting the Psalms. There was a daily Eucharist with a sermon. There were silent meals where you were sitting across from someone and you never spoke to them. There was silence in general. And for me, lots of walking, but that's, you know, more like here. It was a different mode from my life week to week as pastor and rector of St. John's. And unlike here, where I'm scrambling between things and sending off emails and inviting people to do things, there I had time on my hands, and I chose a detective novel. Now, I don't read detective novels at all, so this was new to me. And the detective, his name is Sergeant George Cross. Anyone know this name? Okay, so Detective George Cross is on the autism spectrum. He is brilliant and comes to conclusions to so many cases that his department is in awe of him. He's also socially awkward, and he alienates people along the way who just don't get him. And he has a detective partner who takes it upon herself to coach him so that he doesn't exasperate other people or her. And there's a scene in this book where they are visiting suspects. And the suspects are anxious, their place is a mess, and they are borderline hostile to the questions being asked. So as she is asking her questions, I guess his mind wanders because he gets up and he notices there's a half-completed puzzle on a table covered in dust. And he walks over and starts to finish the puzzle and proceeds to lecture them on how you properly put a puzzle together. I guess he couldn't resist, and she's looking on with annoyance at her partner that he has done this to her line of questions. And then she decides to continue with another question, and the suspects are so off kilter from him having done this that they answer in a revealing way that changes what happens in the whole case. Do any of you do puzzles? I understand there are methods and people know their right way to do puzzles. Is that right? So in this detective novel, and I don't know if I can generalize to all detective novels, maybe I can, there's a time of puzzling where you got all this evidence and you don't know if it's related to anything, but then things switch. You know, puzzles are a very adult thing with, you know, thousands of pieces. It switches to more of a child game, which is, you know, those pictures where you connect the dots? Not aimed for the people who do thousands of piece puzzles, but we have this phrase, connecting the dots, that we use because of those pictures where people connect the dots. So this happens in this detective novel where they have all these pieces of evidence that don't look like they're related to each other at all. And then it comes time to start connecting the dots. And the chief inspector, who is annoyed with his detective, who is so socially ungracious, tries to connect the dots too quickly and gets them all wrong. And our socially unaware detective puts him in his place so that he can keep doing the case and solves it brilliantly. He manages to connect the dots, so they solve the case. Well, I would like to apply these two ways of thinking to Jesus and his disciples before crucifixion and after. Because the disciples have 3 years of puzzling. They're doing all these strange things they've never done before. And now, Jesus is connecting the dots. He says, you know him because he abides with you. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. He says, I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He's connecting the dots. Now, actually, in John's Gospel, this takes place before the crucifixion, but we read it in the Easter season as our connecting the dots time. It's the book of Acts that is when the disciples finally do the connecting of dots themselves and become apostles who preach and put the story together because it's all fallen into place for them. Now, these two modes from this detective novel, I think we can apply them in other ways. This puzzling and this connecting of dots, we can do this with lots of things where, you know, you have things that don't make sense and then at some point it all starts to make sense. We can do this with history, for example. It took 300 years of puzzling to finally connect the dots and get the Nicene Creed. Their attempt of the time to put it all together. And the concept of having a creed at all came out of that time of puzzling and the putting the dots together. Our hymns are a great place of connecting the dots. Just look at any Christmas carol where all these different pieces are brought together to make this conclusion that now God has been made flesh and is among us. There's a hymn I particularly like where dots are connected, and it's How Great Thou Art. You know this verse, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. And continues, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Your hikers, your walkers, your travelers, I'm sure you had times where you've seen something of great beauty and you've thought, yes, there is a God. You connected the dots in that moment. You saw the beauty and you said, this is God. God has done this. So the book of Acts is the apostles doing this, connecting the dots. So here's Paul in Athens before this altar to an unknown God, saying in the mastery of rhetoric, quoting their poetry, quoting the Creator in whom we live and move and have our being. And he says, what you worship as unknown, I now proclaim to you. This unknown God is the creator of everything. Paul is attempting to connect the dots for the people of Athens. Now, you may wonder, because the reading didn't tell us what happens after that, did the people accept this connecting of the dots, or did they regard him more like the detective's boss rushing to a false conclusion? So I have to say, as the bishop's interfaith officer, that there has been this way of, let me learn about your religion so I can connect the dots for you about how prepared you are for Christianity. Much church history, much evangelism has been about Christian missionaries engaged in opportunistic dot connecting. We have it in our scriptures too. So on Christmas Eve, I especially caught it on Christmas Eve, Psalm 96. So there's this verse in it. You know, the whole psalm is celebrating the Messiah come. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Well, I've come to really admire the people I know of other religions, and I'm thinking, what? Can't we celebrate the birth of Jesus without putting down all the other gods? I'm very happy to say that Gordon Johnson's setting of Psalm 96 left out that verse. And maybe I'm being overly sensitive because I've come to admire so many people of other faiths. Do we go down the road of rejecting our faith because there are pieces of it that are hard for us? There are pieces in the hymns. There are pieces in the scriptures. There are things that Christians have said. But personally, I'm going to say, no, I don't do that. I still see God's love in nature. In history, we see lots of flawed people and empires going down the wrong road. But we see kindness and great love. And I want to look for the ways that God's love is lived right now. And maybe in my own way, I'm just like Paul, I'm trying to connect the dots even for you right now. Some of the people in Athens did reject Paul's version of saying, the unknown God I now proclaim to you. But if you read a few verses past where we stopped, other people loved it. Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris became devoted followers of Jesus because of how Paul did that. So, if you're puzzling through about God and church and faith, and someone tries to connect the dots for you, it's still up to you to connect the dots yourself. It is my hope that any words that I share, in fact, that any sermon, assists you with your pieces of the puzzle for your own journey of having the pieces come together and make sense. And it's not just words or preaching, it's all of us. It's all that we do in our worship, all that we sing, the way you sit beside people, the way you greet people at the peace. It's the challenging texts, It's the challenging people. It's the kindness and love. All of these are our pieces of the puzzle so that we have it all fall into place that, yes, we are a community with the God of love. So I hope this connecting of the dots happens for you. And I want to acknowledge and celebrate how this has happened for Karma and Brendan. Karma is going to be baptized in a few moments. Brendan will be confirmed. And they are going to share their story of how the pieces of the puzzle have fallen into place. If you've gotten to know them, you'll know they initially appeared occasionally. They observed us. They asked questions. We were a big puzzle of little pieces. We had sacramental preparation sessions where we talked about whatever was the right thing in the moment to talk about. And today we are celebrating that the pieces of the puzzle are falling into place for Brendan and Karma, and you are the witnesses to their clarity. I hope that you will also hear what Jesus has said as particularly for you. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. And if you were to take any piece of the puzzle away with you to add to your other pieces, well, I recommend this one. Jesus says to you, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Amen.
Thank you.
generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever.
Hallelujah.